Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good,
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream. This is AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest American Horror Story news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
And welcome to AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story, the penultimate episode of season one.
Good word.
Entitled Birth. I am your host, as always, Billy Nellis, here joined by David Scafaletti.
Hello.
And Stephanie Chaplin.
Hi.
Deidre is out tonight, but she will be back next week for our finale show.
Not if I have anything to do about it.
We have a big jam-packed hour. We're going to break down the show like always. We've got some mail to read. We've got another great interview by Ryan Murphy that he did with Entertainment Weekly that we'll get to later. But let's just jump into last night's episode because...
Let's do it.
So much. I mean, the show keeps... Like we talked about last week, they are really piling it on and they're not holding back on revealing anything.
Not at all.
And I love it.
And they're not holding back on... I feel like I just need to say it, but like killing people.
Right. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody is safe. Everybody's dying.
I know.
In case you were wondering.
I know. Well, I want to... We'll save...
You're next.
Okay.
Brutal. We will save the biggest death for later. I want to first talk about... We saw the return of Chad and Patrick, and there was a little bit that had to do with Tate and Violet with them this week that I want to talk about first, just to sort of get that out of the way.
Okay.
The whole house is a buzz that babies are coming. As we've seen, this is all... There's this baby fever.
I mean, they're
baby
more than obsessed. A buzz. They are, like, freaking out. Everybody wants the baby, and I think...
Everybody
Chad
wants
and Patrick are just sort of being more forward about their endeavors.
Right. They have gone so far as to take it upon themselves to decorate the nursery.
I mean, as two gay guys would.
Complete with the creepiest red cribs, I think.
They only painted one red. One was red, one was white.
So
which
scary.
Is very symbolic of a demon child. And
right?
A normal child.
And Chad said it was perfect because one was going to be blonde and one was going to be brunette. And I don't just know like how he anticipated the color of their hair.
Well, because he figured out that one was coming
one
from
was
Ben.
One.
Well,
one
yeah, no, I know
Tate.
That, but who...
You just guessed.
You know, you just guessed.
Right.
Because brown hair is the dominant gene. We all know. It's the dominant gene.
Anyway, so they've...
Thanks for sharing.
So they've taken it upon themselves to decorate the nursery. They're ready. These babies are going to be theirs. And as we see, Violet is understandably panicked because she doesn't know what they're going to do to her mother.
I mean, rightfully so. She's a little freaked out that her mother's going to be giving birth soon. She can't go see her mother. She can't really do anything. And she, above all anything else, doesn't want her mother back in the house.
Right.
Yeah.
Let alone her children.
Right.
Her new children.
And so... mixed in with this storyline with Chad and Patrick this week and stealing babies was also this idea.
Stealing babies? Oh my God.
They technically do want to steal babies.
Everyone in the house wants to steal babies.
I mean, no, granted, the baby will be there.
I know. That's the thing. Like, everyone wants to steal the babies.
Where are they going to take
they're
it?
Not taking
it's like
them anywhere.
Hot potato. Like, they're just going to pass the baby. I mean, really, we need a mediator to come in, sit all of them down, and be like, look. You all can't leave. Just share the baby.
Right. Just like
everyone
leave
can
her
have
alone.
A day. There's 7 days in a week.
I'll schedule it for you. Don't worry.
We'll have a flowchart.
I really think that we'll be in a that Dilly Peen or Billy Dean needs to come in and sit down with all the ghosts.
Love me some Dilly Peen.
And figure it out. But anyway, so there's this whole idea this week that we need to figure out how to get rid of a ghost. Violet more so wants to know how this can be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so she goes to or she. Summons Constance.
Yeah. Since she can't leave.
And what I thought was a great reversal of some sort of power there is she was calling Constance to her. And
I know,
for
and usually we see
Constance waiting for somebody else with the cigarette. It was great, that little flip. I liked that. So she right out and says, I need to know how to get rid of a ghost. Figure it out. I want to talk to your Craigslist medium. Figure it out for me. And we see the return of Billy Dean.
The ever glamorous medium.
Who I'm obsessed with, and I want like a webisode of her like Lifetime show.
Right?
I want them to like.
God, that would be
in between
amazing.
Season one and two, I want them to make like webisodes of Dean's medium show.
We'll tell somebody.
Tell someone. We'll make them ourselves.
I'll contact Ryan Murphy. You know?
There you go.
But so Billy Dean tells about the Roanoke spell. It's apparently the only time that it's ever been accomplished. To banish a spirit, to force them to move on, was this time in 1590. She goes on to explain that the settlers at Roanoke were murdered, and they all were sort of.
I don't think
spirits.
She said murdered. I think they just all died. Of whether it had been like a disease or something like that, but she said they all dropped dead inexplicably.
So they all died, and they're all sort of left there, and they're angry, and they're murdering the Native Americans,
mm-hmm.
And the tribes are looking for a way to get rid of them, and they have this spell, according to Billy Dean, where they take a talisman, something that each spirit held most dear, and they burned it, and that talisman would summon the spirit, and once the spirit was summoned, they were to shout Croatoan at them.
Which I feel like if we knew how to spell it, we'd
I do
like,
know how to spell it. I found it. It's Croatoan was how it was spelled by Ryan Murphy.
Hey guys, we have somebody on the line who would like to speak with you. Would you like to take the caller?
We would,
of course.
Calling on the line. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hi, this is Megan, and I'm in Kansas.
Hi, Megan.
Hi.
How are you, Megan?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing all right.
Doing good, thank you.
What's on your mind?
I just rewatched last night's episode of American Horror Story.
What are your thoughts?
I'm sorry, that was a lot all at once. I'm not sure what any of it actually said.
I, David, asked you what your thoughts were.
I was pretty impressed with it. That almost could have passed for a season finale, I thought.
Very true.
Right. I sort of left last night wondering, okay, what is going to happen next
What's
week?
Next?
That felt like the end.
Exactly.
Like, what else can happen now? Yeah.
It seems like it's all kind of centered on Ben and Constance now.
Yeah, I think I have a feeling next week will be very heavily on what Ben does, realizing that his entire family is
What's
dead.
What's his next move?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got a little teared up, actually, a couple times.
It was sad. That last scene, I thought when we see the wraparound shot on Violet and Vivian appearing, I thought was great. It was so well done.
Beautiful
so
shot.
Beautiful.
Beautiful shot. Did you have any questions about last night's episode? Maybe something we could help you out with if we know the answer to?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. What did you guys make of like the whole delivery of the babies where it shows when Ben's sort of just flipping out, you know, he's like in the corner, you know, not knowing what's going on. Like, what was going on there? In your opinion, what would your guess be about?
Well, What I took from that was sort of what Ben was actually going through in his mind.
Uh-huh.
But he was so scared for his wife that he was putting on the front. And we were seeing what he was actually feeling and what he was doing to help her get through this violent birth.
I thought also it was really beautiful that they edited it in a way where he was remembering Violet's birth.
Right. Yeah. And we saw this happy birth juxtaposed to this terrible violent one. Yeah. It was just
a major contrast.
Yeah, and how when Violet was born, they were so in love and they were so ready to start a family. And right now he's just like crying and trying to like stay strong for his basically dying wife.
Such a low point.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to die?
I don't know. I mean, there was a shot in the preview where they showed him with a gun to his head. Now, we do know that American Horror Story, when they do these previews, they like to
tease us
with something, but it mm-hmm. ends up being a red herring.
Right. I don't know. I feel like Ben needs to stay alive because he does have a child who is alive that he needs to fight for.
I think a lot's going to center around what happens with this child and Constance, because if something happens where the child, I mean, I'm sure that this is like the alpha child, so it's going to make it, but I feel like if he lost a child, he wouldn't have much of a reason to keep going, but he does have this baby that everyone wants.
Right.
I'm so glad that Moira made an appearance.
Me too.
Right there at the very end.
A very brief one.
Right. I was glad I was...
Yeah.
We weren't going to see
her. And then
there
comes godass Hayden.
Everyone sort of made an appearance in this week's episode. Every ghost that we've seen throughout the season has sort of showed up for this episode and for the birth, and
definitely.
Yeah. Well, they needed the whole surgical staff there.
They did.
I know, it was very lucky that all of the ghosts sort of have a medical
background. What does that
happen? All right. Well, do you have any other questions for us?
I don't think so. I'm sure I had like a million before, and none naturally come to mind now. But thanks so much for taking the call.
Of course. Well, thank you.
Fun to talk to you guys.
Thanks for watching. If you think of any, you can always email info@afterbuzztv.com, and we will get to them next week if you think of anything else. And thanks a lot. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, so kind of going back to what we were talking about before the call, I just want to finish the whole idea of getting rid of a ghost.
Because I do think that is actually very important, because who knows if anyone has ever tried to come in and tried to get rid of like the evil spirits, or to get like sort of like a cleansing thing going on in the home. I know that I recently saged my own home. I don't think it did anything, but I did it.
You would.
I did. I was like, nah.
But so we do see Violet and Tate are going to go through with this. They're going to attempt the Croatoan and the Roanoke spell.
Which must have involved something that she didn't know about. Because Billy Dean said that they burned the talismans of the ghost, and then they appeared. And then before the ritual was over, before they could do anything else, he finished the ritual by screeching Croatoan.
Right. I also just... You know, we keep going back to this, is how much of what Billy Dean knows is true. And
right, but we saw...
A load of crap.
But, I mean, that's true. I mean, I don't necessarily believe everything she said, but when
we
she
see her
was...
able to communicate with
telepathically
Violet
without
and
saying anything.
Realize that she's dead, and which was very
maybe she's that kind of a medium, but she doesn't really know. Maybe there isn't a way to get rid of these ghosts.
Right. I mean, there
or
might
maybe
not
she's
really
been told this and believes it, but it just really isn't true either.
Or maybe
so
there's
ago.
Such a strong hold on this
house and the evil that's there. Which, of course, we do see, you know, they both find a way to get a belonging to each Chad and Patrick. And I have to say that the scene where Tate attempted to seduce Patrick, I got a little hot under the collar.
A little steamy-eyed.
And I know that that's creepy, but I was like, this is really kind of sexy. And
I thought he was going to go in for the kiss, and then all of a sudden it's like, boom, you're out, Tate,
I know.
Later.
I was bummed that it didn't, but... I wanted some ghost on ghost, man on man makeout.
Ghost on ghost. Well, that's kind, obviously.
I think that like the most important thing from that scene that we got is that Patrick is still so upset that he died and still so angry of the fact that he has to spend the rest of eternity with Chad, with this man that he doesn't love and didn't love anymore, which was so sad.
That we learned that this week, and yeah. as Chad did, that Patrick had fallen in love and was getting ready to leave for somebody else when Tate killed him.
Right.
Which that also kind of blows my mind that, I mean, obviously he is stuck there, but do you really want this child then? Like, that was the whole, you didn't want it before.
Like, at the same time, it's like, it's the best, you know, making the best of a bad situation. Like, if you can't be completely happy, you're never going to leave the house, and you're already stuck with this guy, you might as well
appease him. And maybe he'll calm down.
Yeah, I guess that's true. You do want Chad to
relax
a little bit.
Because I think of the two, Chad is like the crazier one.
Obviously.
And so we do see Chad over here. And as Violet goes to attempt this Roanoke spell, she does it in front of Chad.
Well, I thought it was going to work at first because she threw his watch in the...
And he was there all of a sudden.
And he all of a sudden appeared.
Well, he knew what was going on.
I think he was also like, just mad that her watch was his watch in a furnace.
Who the hell cares? I'm so confused about that. Like, why would they care about, like, some stupid personal belonging if they're dead? Like, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
All of these ghosts, though, do still seem to cling to the belongings. They all think this is still their house.
Well, yeah.
They all have this possessorship over it. They all have these...
That's
like,
not a word.
Whatever.
It sounded like one to me.
Possessive quality towards it. Thank you. But so it doesn't... It in actuality doesn't work.
No.
He plays along and pretends that he's convulsing and then starts laughing in her face and says it's a bunch of crap.
He's so evil.
He's evil.
And
little queen.
But then lets her know that, you know, they're done. That he's not going to try and have a baby anymore. He's breaking the legs off of the creepy red crib. He's realized through what he's learned that this isn't a good idea. And he says, your mom's babies are safe from us at least.
Right. Which I thought was so telling.
Right. And I mean, then he even goes on to reveal more of what Tate has done that Violet was up until now unaware of and really puts all the cards out on the table. And
no one really knew, did they? Except for Constance and Nora.
And Moira knew.
I think Hayden knew.
The ghosts knew. I think that once you become a ghost, you know.
Well, no, because he didn't know. He was really surprised when
she
said...
No, he did not know. But
when she said that was going to be her grandchild.
A few of them were aware of the fact that he had raped her.
Yeah.
Hayden definitely knew for sure.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of surprised that it didn't come out earlier, but I guess he's the only one who's trying to be, like, vindictive and, like, get at Violet. So.
Right.
Yeah. And I also wonder if there was a part that, like, he had given up the baby and maybe now he was also sort of trying to help. I thought, like, you need to know what you're doing here,
right.
too.
Or
we're all stuck here, so figure it out.
Right.
I mean, they're all there. No matter what, they've got to figure out how to deal with it, sort
they
of
gotta
thing.
They got to learn how to coexist.
Right.
I think is the biggest issue on this show is that nobody coexists. Everybody's living in their own little bubble, except they're all in the same giant bubble.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
They're all in the same bubble, but they think they're in their own bubble.
Right.
And they're all so self-absorbed. Obviously, that's exactly what you were saying. But
yeah.
like you guys were talking about last week, they don't, like, no one knew, like, no one ever notices what's going on in the house.
No.
Outside of their own little world.
They're completely unaware of everything.
Right. Exactly. And so, after the birth, after all the traumatic events of the birth, we do see Violet go back up and finally push Tate away and let him know everything that he's done.
In such a strong, powerful way. That scene, like, gave me chills to the bone.
Right. She sort of, like, has found herself now.
In a way.
I think. At least in
I think she's found...
towards him.
Yeah, she's found her strength.
Yeah. And she, you know, she told him, straight out, why do you think they came here on Halloween? You killed them. You killed the people who used to live here. You raped my mom. Why did you do that if you love me? If you think that you're trying to be better.
And you have to pay for everything you've
right.
done.
And
like you will know what you've done.
Yeah.
Right. And like we've spoken about, I think we talked about it last week, how this whole show seems to be about people accepting responsibility for what they've done. We saw Larry need to accept responsibility last week. We see Constance so afraid of accepting the culpability that she has and everything that's gone down since she moved into this house. which is why she was so unable to give Larry what he wanted, because of how terrified she is of recognizing she needs to do the same. And we do see now it's brought up again in the fact that Tate needs to pay. He needs to suffer for what he's done to people.
And he needs and to recognize what he's done to
right.
people.
Right. And that's wrong. How he can suffer. I think that is what his suffering is. And that's he's not been able to because no one will tell him, because Constance won't let people tell him.
Well, I don't know if... I mean, the interesting thing to me is that Nora has known Tate for a very long time, which we saw in the opening scene, that she has known him since 1984, when he was a baby.
Right.
And when he comes back to her in this episode, at the beginning of this episode,
like, as well,
she doesn't
she
know
do.
Who he is, but she knows that he's helped her in some way. So, I mean, maybe he has found out that he did all these horrible things and he killed the students in his school, but he just can't seem to retain that information.
Which is so weird that... It's just bizarre how some ghosts do retain and some don't. Like, we've seen Hayden be able to retain everything.
Everything. But also, when he shot up his school, he was on a crap ton of drugs. So maybe because of his altered state of mind when he died,
perhaps
he can't remember.
Or he is a sociopath. He blocks it out of his head and continues
that.
On with his life.
Right.
Or his death.
His life death.
His purgatory.
His afterlife.
But so let's having discussed all of that, we see there's really no way to get rid of a ghost is what
yeah.
we've thus far. There very well still
that
could
we
be,
know
but
it.
We
you
don't
can just
know.
Make them disappear.
Right. And you can get them away from you too. And I liked the sort of dovetailing of that from the beginning with Nora giving Tate the answer to how to get them to go away from you for the time being.
The creepy Thaddeus.
That scene was terrifying, number one. When this face was getting closer and closer in the dark to Tate, I was like...
I was
my
so
heart
scared!
Pounding.
Oh my gosh.
So scary. I mean, it wasn't that scary because you knew nothing was going to happen to him because
right.
you know that Tate
yeah.
was growing up, but it still was terrifying.
It wasn't as terrifying for me only because
I think
of,
this is the way the light was for you watching.
Well, yeah, there's that. And also because when he came forward, he looked like I expected him to look because of that
the
still that we got our viewer
the
who said that still. I was just like, oh. So
but still just
like
it was, it was.
It wasn't even, it wasn't that part. It was really, you need to watch like on a screen where it's darker because
right. you, can
there,
see.
You can see this weird, and it doesn't look like the face later. It's just this weird like white face coming out of the shadow mm-hmm. of him underneath the piano or that whatever
it's
he's
legitimately
caught under.
I mean, when a white face comes at me from under a dark piano, I'm always scared.
But it was nice, the sort of, the dovetailing of it to see Violet use the same thing he was taught how to do against him to get him to go away. He's become the monster of the house.
Right.
He's replaced Thaddeus as the true terrifying spirit.
Well, he's the one who has aided in this negative energy in such a great way.
Yeah.
By killing people constantly. I mean, in this season alone, he's killed so many people.
Right.
Right.
And if
they're
if
dropping like flies because of you, Tate.
And if what Billy has said that this power feeds off of it, he is the one who has allowed the power to grow stronger.
Right. And possibly maybe that's why his hold on Violet and him being able to manifest himself has gotten stronger and stronger.
Right. Well, let's jump into the whole basically second half, the birth. We need to talk about the birth. So we see Ben go pick Vivian up.
The birth.
And at this point, the doctor explains the sort of medical jargon that one twin is an alpha
mm-hmm.
and is basically killing the other, feeding off of it, not allowing the nutrients that are supposed to be divided to go to the other one.
That is such a scary thought.
And that at 6 months along, 3 months premature, this alpha is ready. Is done, is cooked, the timer's
oh
gone
God.
Off, and it's ready to come
Stick
out
a fork
of
in
the
it.
Oven.
How many other offensive things can we say about giving birth to
oh,
a
it's
baby?
It's a demon baby.
I know.
It's offensive in and of
it's
itself.
Sane.
I know.
It is sane.
It is, I know. It's
but so the doctor is completely against her traveling, against their idea of going to Florida. He's like, you better have a doctor on that plane, because it's coming. I've gone on record. That's all I can do.
Right.
And
Which
let
is
them
true.
Go.
It's coming.
So Ben...
So ominous.
...takes Vivian home because he needs to get Violet, as he believes, snuck out of the car on drugs.
How?
At the,
I don't know how he thought she snuck out. Because
did he hear the door open? When the car's on, the door is open. It goes ding, 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 yeah. ding.
At a red light, you didn't hear the door? You didn't hear anything? Like,
it just goes to see that these people are so in their own problem that they don't see what's going on.
Yeah.
They haven't noticed. They didn't notice that she died.
And it's
let alone snuck out of a car.
And as we see Constance say in the preview for next week, after all that's happened, how can you still be so blind?
Yeah.
Right.
They are so unwilling to accept what has happened to them that they don't see
it. I don't think it's everyone else. I think it's Ben who's unwilling to accept the truth. Because we see Vivian at the end of the episode when Violet's telling her to come over to her side, whatever and whatever. At the end, when they're talking, she says, "I'm sorry that you had to die and that you lost your baby." And she's very calm. "I didn't lose my baby."
Right. Right. And it was almost... I mean, it was great. It was like a reunion for the two of them.
Right, and she's aware of the fact that she's dead already.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
100%. Because she has that... It was almost like Violet was there to help her pass.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what has led her to be a calmer spirit, because somebody guided her through her death as opposed to...
An abrupt
just
death.
Dying brutally and violently. Granted, it was totally brutal and violent in childbirth, but there was somebody there on the other side... A warm presence, a loving presence who brought her over in a way that none of these other spirits were granted. And maybe that's why they're so upset. And so at...
Interesting.
It's a good way to think
about it. Ill at ease in their purgatory, because someone... They had no connection when they died. They just died with no connection left. I think that's interesting.
That is very interesting. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Good point.
It literally just came to me as we...
Good call.
Genius.
Good call, Dilly.
Thank you. But so we see the first baby, the non-alpha, is born stillborn, which I think negates any possibility for it to be a ghost, because it came out of the womb dead. It was never alive.
You never see it, though.
Right. You don't ever see it. It goes directly to Nora.
It goes to Nora, and I have a feeling Nora just fed it to Thaddeus.
Oh, my God. No, I think Nora's going to, like,
scary.
Have that baby. Next time we see her, she's going to have a baby with her.
What if
she's going to have it, but it's not going to be alive. I don't think she's just going to have this thing. It reminded me, I don't know if either of you watched Lost.
No.
But this one of the characters, Claire, loses a baby. Her baby gets stolen by the others on the island at one point. And she goes nuts, and like no one sees her again for like 2 seasons. And when they see her, she's she's raising like this baby made of skin that she's like made from animals that she's killed.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
And she's like, "It's my baby. It's my baby. I got it back." And I'm feeling that's what like is going to be Nora. She's going to walk around with this thing and be like, "It's my baby. It's my baby." And it's going to be like, it's stillborn that she just walks around with forever.
All right. Well, good for her. At least she'll be calm.
But baby two comes out. Baby number two comes out alive as Vivian's screaming, "It's ripping its way through me."
Right.
And
which is so horrifying.
Yeah.
Whole thing is so horrifying. So.
Well, yeah, but.
Right. It puts that Twilight birth scene to shame.
Doesn't it? Oh, my God. For sure.
The baby is born.
I was thinking the same thing.
And Constance immediately goes to wash it off, and she's getting her plan into action to get this baby away.
You know that thing is not coming back.
It wants to be hers, and she's cleaning it in the sink.
So creepy, like a close-up shot of her, like, old lady hands and arms. Like, nothing against Jessica Lange. I love her to death, but it was a little
her
scary.
Old lady hands.
And
you're
Moira
so
appears for her flash appearance, as our caller mentioned. Megan mentioned, and we see Moira for just a second, which I was happy because any time with Moira is good.
And she was so happy, too, and she had tears in her eyes.
And what was so strange, though, to me is how pure she saw the baby for what we are led to believe it to be so unpure.
Yeah.
That was an interesting thing because Moira was so afraid of this child that was in her. So it's interesting what Moira really thinks about this kid, I think, might have been revealed in that scene rather than what she said before. And then immediately...
We still don't know which baby was the alpha baby.
True.
Whether it was Tate's baby or Ben's baby.
Oh.
That has not been told to us
yet. Yeah, you just definitely assume.
You just assume
it's the demon,
baby.
But it very well could not be.
That the ghost sperm is the alpha.
Right, but it's very possible that the ghost sperm
just
created
died.
A dead baby.
Ooh.
Because it's dead.
I'd like that.
Interesting.
Maybe that's why Moira looks like that. Maybe that's very telling.
Yeah.
Because they want you to assume that
it's the bad baby.
Oh, beyond a shadow of a doubt, because it killed her. Something killed her. But I think it was more just the birth itself, the trauma of the birth, not being in a hospital, not having like real doctors.
No anesthesia. Right.
That is
and then the bleeding out.
He's not a real doctor anymore.
No.
And then she bled out and he just kind of sat there and was like, she's bleeding out.
They tried to use gauze. That's all. He said, give me some gauze. I remember he mentions just to soak it up, but you need to close it too.
Right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And so Hayden pops in. Hello, bitches.
Best way to just enter into or come back into the scene.
Or enter
the scene. Have you gotten that slime off my baby yet?
God.
And
such a saucy minx.
And there we leave it. Hayden, there's still this tug of war, an 8-way tug of war, if that's even possible, over the ownership of this child.
But the best thing is that Constance has possession of the baby at the moment. She can at any moment walk right out
of the house.
No one's following her.
Except for Ben.
Right.
But Ben's like completely insane.
Yeah.
Ben's losing it.
Rightfully so.
He's dead. I don't think he believes her. Mind you, that she's dead.
And his wife just passed.
And I think he's, like, losing it.
Yeah, at this point, he definitely doesn't believe her, but he's going to very quickly when he sees his wife.
When he's awake and she's like, look, Dad, I'll try and walk out of the house, and then she'll appear from another door. And then they're like, oh, how that happened.
Well, I mean, hopefully it's that easy.
Maybe you didn't just sneak out of the car during the red light.
Right. All right, let's jump to a commercial really quickly. We come back, we have some fan mail to read, and we're going to get into our news and gossip and predictions for the season finale. So we'll be right back.
After Buzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you, a lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzz TV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzz TV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different after-shows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
All right. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story. So we got two fan mail question letters.
So exciting. It makes me so happy that our listeners and our viewers out there are, even after the show happens and even after our show happens, are still talking about American Horror Story
and thinking about it.
And they're emailing us at info@afterbuzztv.com to just get our thoughts on it.
I feel the same way. I have like a million questions after each episode. I just get to do it here.
Exactly.
So, right.
That's true.
And I do think this is one of the only shows that I do here that we get this much like fan feedback
from week to week.
You guys are like the best fans. You keep us at number one. You engage with us. We love you.
We love you so hard.
But so let's jump right into the first one we got today. Hey guys, just a quick question about last night's episode. Do you think that Tate really doesn't know what he did? An example, the high school massacre. In the beginning of the season, I thought that Tate's apparent ignorance of those events fit somewhere under the umbrella of his immaturity and ignorance of the fact that he was dead, as Billy Dean suggested to Violet. Now, we know from last week's episode that he knew he was a ghost the whole time. And with that revelation, I kind of assumed that his front of ignorance of the school shootings in earlier episodes like Halloween had been motivated by his interest in preventing Violet from finding out he was a ghost. Especially since in the second episode of the season, we see Tate in a session with Ben saying, "I kill people I like. How effed up is that?" Also, in the Piggy episode, right after Violet round searches the shooting, Tate pops up behind her in the bathroom and says, "Are you scared now?" and then disappears. Since there had been no other development at that point, that would have made her become scared now. I assumed his comment indicated that he knew she'd found out about the shootings, and by extension that she was aware of what he'd done, as was he. But then in this week's episode, Tate was still acting like he had no recollection of the school shooting, saying things to Violet like, "I did something bad, didn't I?" when Billy Dean kicked him out of their meeting. And then there was his response at the end, where she confronted him about what happened, and he just kept asking, why would I do that, etc. I'm so confused. If he really doesn't remember what he did, why would the what would the explanation for that be? And why, when Violet confronts him, does he seem so horrified about the possibility that he killed the high school kids, but isn't at all bothered by the fact that he killed Chad and Patrick, something he remembers doing? One other thing. I know you guys have talked about some of the ghosts, like Nora, having some kind of issue where they kind of rewind and forget their ghosts, and why others are in the house, etc. But is it possible that it's just an act on her part? Because it was weird that when Tate went in to talk to Nora about the baby, she supposedly didn't know who he was, but a minute later seems able to remember how he promised her a baby and how he'd gone about making that happen, etc. Am I just being skeptical? Thanks, love the show, Elizabeth.
Okay, I have a feeling I know why this they're like that. Both Nora and Tate died in an altered state of mind. Nora was a drug addict.
Right.
And so was Tate. From what we've seen. And I think it has a lot to do with the way that they've passed. Nora, whatever happened to her, axe to her head or whatever, she shot herself? What did she do?
She shot herself.
She shot herself through her through the mouth. Okay. She was also high when she died. Those are the only two ghosts who don't seem to recall. They have, like, this memory lapse within them, and they, like, if they disappear or come back and don't manifest for a couple days or something like that, they seem to forget what has happened in the past, but they remember what's happened recently.
I guess going off of what you were saying with how Vivian passed and how Violet was there, that does kind of make sense. That the way you die really affects how you are in
because
the house.
Also,
from then
Violet
on out
is remembering and is sort of okay because she had him with her there.
Right.
You died loved. He specifically said that to her. You died loved. All of these people really didn't die loved. They all died unloved. The
and
doctor
brutally
and,
for the most part.
Right. Charles and Nora died unloved. They didn't love each other anymore. They had nobody else. Their baby was dead.
Right.
Chad and Patrick were out of love with each other. They died and they're miserable. Hayden
and they
died.
Both not, got murdered.
No one was loving or caring for Hayden.
Moira right. was.
Moira wasn't loved or cared for.
The nurses.
The nurses are
were
sort of
murdered and raped,
and they were there was no love in the room when they died.
No,
so I think that plays a part in it as far as I can read into it.
Although I do understand why she's skeptical because when Tate went down there, she was like, "Who are you? Oh yeah, you did promise me a baby." Like,
but I don't think she remembers him, but she remembers
that she was promised a baby.
That she was promised a baby, which I think at the end is her driving force for being because she's always mourning the loss of
that baby, so she'll remember that thing only.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I think that we actually, in the process of that, we've gotten another one email in. I may be reading into things too much, but in last night's episode, when the lights go out and Constance creepily tells Ben it's time, I was reminded of the first episode when Ben is down in the kitchen while Vivian and Rubber Man are doing their thing upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his hand over the stovetop burner and Constance said, "Now is not your time. Enjoy the house. Go back to bed." There were very similar shots and...
They were, and what was interesting is that during that scene, last night's episode, during that scene, when she said it's time, he was remembering all those things.
Yeah, it was
and he was sort of in
him.
Like a dream state again.
Yeah, that scene and what she said always seemed weird to me and like it must have some significance. So when I saw that similar scene this week before the birth and that during the scene later on when we see flashes of what's going on in Ben's subconscious, there are shots of that stove burner. I wonder if there was something more we are supposed to put together, or am I just reading too much into it? By the way, I understand the importance of maintaining the integrity of a mythology like this and why writers have to make tough decisions with regard to certain characters and that interest, blah, blah, blah. But with this show, I do believe that a larger part of what has made this show so great and drawn viewers in week on week is this cast, and that different from typical horror stories, audiences have invested in these characters, and it would be bad for the show if their stories, at least that of the Harmon family, didn't continue in some way into season two. But then I read today that Connie Britton said, while she wasn't sure about she'd been told at the start of the project that the role would be for one season, and Ryan Murphy told EW the finale would see the end of Tate and Violet's relationship, and recappers are suggesting season two may feature a completely different family in a completely different house. Do you think they would do that when they've been so successful with the current ingredients?
I mean, that's so interesting, and basically what I've been talking about for so long, that I think that the way that they're going to end season two, I mean, season one is just like, how can you continue with this family if they're in this state? Two of the family members are dead.
Majority of the family is dead at this point.
Yeah. The only thing, I mean, I don't, it would be a shame if they did try and just, we've talked about it, bring in a new family.
Right, bring in a new family to this house or start again in a new home.
It can't be a new home even. The home is the point of this show.
Right, it would have to be a completely different story.
Right.
Centered around something else.
Exactly.
If they decided to end this family's story with one season only.
Yeah. I hope that's the road they don't go down.
Yeah.
Me too.
That would be really upsetting.
Right. I mean, we have to wait and see next
week. We'll have to wait and see.
We do have some, like I said, we have the interview with Ryan Murphy where he does speak a little bit about next week and how it sets up for viewers what season two should be like if you watch it closely.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have another week. This isn't the end. We have one more week to wait it out and see what they leave us with.
Right.
Freaking out.
Our final email that we have to read.
Who was this last email from?
That one's from Beatrice Hazel.
Oh, okay.
This last one says, "Hey, AfterBuzz Dream Team."
That's because you weren't here last week, and we referred to ourselves as the Dream Team
because the three of us had each gotten AfterBuzzer of the Month.
Yeah. Oh, and then there's me,
and then there's you, which you will have to get next month to continue.
I want to first say that I totally adore listening to you guys every Friday for the review of American Horror Story on iTunes and getting your thoughts on the episode just watched. Also, my favorite part: predictions that you all come up with. Last night's episode threw me for a loop. I didn't think Vivian would have died, and then if you're a part of that house and housing the devil baby, I guess you qualify with no get out of death free card. Also, with Violet telling Tate to go away, all I can say first, Violet, he's the cute one, LOL. But I can see why she did it. I can too. But Violet was the only one to keep him calm now. She's really unleashed a side of Tate that needs help.
Oh,
being
yeah.
blunt to him about his past may not have been the best outlook of help for him, but I do believe we're going to get another roller coaster ride of Tate, and personally, I'm all for it. One character that seems not consistent but has a weird story to tell, I'm sure, is the real estate agent.
Mm-hmm.
She dials ghost fluffers. Which she did call.
No, she called somebody, but they showed up.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel she has much more connection to the house than she has led to believe. Any predictions or thoughts on that? Well, I don't know what I'm going to watch now on Wednesday night since the season finale is next week. I've become addicted to the show, and my coworkers and I discuss our thoughts the next day at work. But thanks again. Love you guys. Keep up the great work. Miley.
Aw, thanks, Miley.
We're obsessed with you, too. The show, too. I personally do think the real estate agent knows more than she has let on.
She would have to. She would have to be a lot more aware of what's going on in that home, or at least be aware of the fact that something's not right in the home, whether or not people have died. I mean, she knows the complete history of the home because she has to be being a real estate agent, but she has to be more in tune with what's going on there.
And exactly. When they were talking about selling, she was just like, that's not going to really happen for
yeah.
you. Because right. Probably because she realizes that there's something bigger going on. Yeah.
Right. And yeah. she's kind of like a rinky-dink real estate agent.
Right.
I mean, when Vivian decided to sell the home and she said that she went around to other real estate agents and nobody else would take the listing.
Yeah. So I do. I felt like that she was part of the mythology, and maybe, I mean, that will happen in season two. We'll see more.
I mean,
of
what
that.
Would be even more interesting is that if this story ends with the Harmon family, this season ends with the Harmon family, and the next season starts with a new family in a new home, if the real estate agent is the constant.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, let's jump into some gossip really quick.
I'm going to marinate on that.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so Entertainment Weekly had an interview with Ryan Murphy, and they asked, so we talked to Connie Britton, and she said, when you guys first met, you told her this character would die. Ryan said, yes, we've really had the whole season mapped out from the beginning.
Wow.
In the meetings with the core actors, the three leads being Connie, Dylan, and Jessica, as we tried to snare them, we were able to say, this is where you start, this is the middle, and this is where you end up. So yes, I was able to tell Connie really the whole run of the series. I think it will be a lot of fun when the series comes out on DVDs. When you look back, even on the first episode, things are set up really early on. The misleads and the misreads were all there from the beginning.
I am so excited to have a marathon and look for clues.
Right?
Can we please do that together?
Yes, of course.
Of course.
I love the final scene with her and Violet because it's sort of weirdly happy. They're both dead, but they're both together. Do you agree? Ryan said, yes, I thought it was a very lovely scene. I think when so many people, when they think about the afterlife and spirituality, and whether you believe in life after death or you don't, I think if you do, the fantasy is people pass on to a sense of peace and closure, and you get to be reunited with the people that you loved. That for us was what the scene was about. I thought so many bad things purposefully happened to that family, so that particularly for Connie and Tyson's characters, I like that their death were tragedies, no doubt, but they're not alone or lonely like so many ghosts in that house.
Right.
During the birthing sequence, there are shots of Ben in the corner being terrified. What were those supposed to represent? Yes, that was never in the script. That was something we cooked up when we shot that. We really wanted to show in that moment if you were a man who walked in there and there was suddenly as a 1920s gynecologist and somebody like Jessica Lange telling you that the house is helping you.
Yeah.
I think he has to present to his wife with a sense of confidence. But I think those, we call them subliminal flashbacks, really show you what's going on inside his head. You started with him masturbating and crying, and then you end with him on the floor crying. Well, you haven't seen the last episode, so maybe we do a whole lot of all the above again.
I can't imagine that there's any room for masturbation after...
You never know. It's an hour and a half. Could slip right in there.
How morbid to think of that after your wife is just dying.
Like I know, pitting, right? Party masturbating.
Yes, I mean he was crying while he was masturbating the first time. He could be sobbing.
Mm. Okay, we'll see where next week takes us.
So the labor sequence really evoked Rosemary's Baby to me. Was that one of the inspirations? Beyond. It's funny that you say that because we certainly have referenced Rosemary's Baby. And our love of it in the series. The obvious one is when eating the brains. But no, when we were writing that, there were two things we were trying to think about, which were the real-time events and the subconscious events, like particularly from Ben's point of view. But my reference points were more like the Julie Christie movie called Demon Seed, just in terms of tone. And it was sort of a very Nicholas Rogue to me. Jennifer Saul, who is one of our writers, came up with the idea that I love of the corrupt birth flashing back to the birth of Violet in Happier Times, so you could show when people, when the couple were madly in love and fresh and starting out, and then sort of at the end of their relationship.
Right. It makes it like even more tragic.
It does.
To juxtapose it to
this. See where they had come from to where they are now is just makes the whole story that much more
intense.
Yeah.
And brutal. Definitely. And powerful.
Agreed.
I love the opening sequence with Thaddeus. I love seeing that little dude again. Don't you love that shot where we hold on to the infantata forever? So when Violet shut her eyes and said, "Go away to Tate," does that mean he's been banished from the house? Will he be back in the finale? No, he does come back in the finale, and their relationship is played out in the finale. But for the most part, that was the conclusion of the relationship. I love what Zach Quinto says in the basement. Like, people come up with their spells and exorcisms and burning sage in a house. I've done that in a new house. They're just rituals and things that make you feel safer and make you feel there's a logic and an order to the world.
Right.
I honestly say, when I saged my house last week, did not feel any safer. It just smelled.
Well, then you clearly don't believe it.
No, I don't.
I was just saying, I don't believe it, so if I tried to sage my house, nothing would be like happening. Sage.
It's just like stunk to high heavens of white sage for days.
All right, well, Entertainment Weekly is such a Billy Dean fan.
You were going to say it again.
No, I was actually going to say Billy Fiend.
Okay.
So close.
Okay.
Dilly Peen round two.
All right, so I'm such a Dilly Peen fan. Does she know that Tate is evil? Yes, I think what we're establishing with Billy is a lot of people keep saying, is she fake? I think that she's both. I do think there are people in the world that have that gift. So I think she's both legitimate and she's also a fraud because she does think that the Croatone spell works when, of course, it doesn't.
Right.
I love how Sarah played it because she played it with such confidence that you believe her in everything that she's saying.
Right.
I think the problem is that perhaps Billy Dean told her this story about the Croatone spell or whatever it is, but left something out because you can't just get rid of one spirit. You get rid of all of them, and she knows that Violet is a spirit.
I kind of just don't believe her, to be honest, in, like, that sense.
I believe
she
her.
She definitely can communicate with ghosts.
Yes. I think she doesn't have all the power she thinks
exactly.
she does.
But she
presents herself so powerfully in everything that that's when you can't read it and you have to wonder which ones are real and which ones aren't.
Right. Yeah.
Because I obviously she is legitimate. She could speak telepathically to Violet.
And she could sense tape.
If someone did that to me and then tried to tell me a story, I'd be like, I will believe you. Because you just telepathically communicated.
Right.
So cool.
So I do think I think that there's a bit of gray in there and it's not black and white with her. But I love the character. I love that it makes you guess and wonder.
She's pointing nails and it makes me so happy.
Well, Birth almost feels like the climax of the series to me. What can possibly happen next? Ryan said, I don't want to say too much about it. It's a longer episode for us, and it's sort of an extended version. The final episode was built around the Dylan dilemma. Your beloved wife and your daughter are dead, and you know that, and you personally feel responsible. What do you do? Do you go? Do you stay? Do you bring people in to help you contact them? We deal with what's going to happen with the family, and then we deal, of course, with what happened to the baby. And what is Constance going to do? Constance is a survivor, so how is she going to survive this chain of events? What is she going to do? Also, what's going to happen to that house?
Right.
So much.
There's a lot of things
there's
that could.
There's still enough to fill this next week. There's
well, for sure, but there are
definitely.
So many
so much
things.
To go to another season.
There's a lot of stories that they could finish where
it would present.
It
so
would
many
present.
More.
I don't know. I mean, it's just too difficult to tell at this point.
Right.
Well, from the finale, will we know more about season two? Any clues? I think so. I think when people watch the finale next week, that they will definitely have a sense of where the series is headed. But if they don't, I will be happy to tell them. Yes, I think people will have an idea.
We'll just call him on up.
Close Ryan, personal friend.
Rye.
Let me call him.
Spill Rye.
Boop, 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 boop. Ryan.
Did you really just do that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Oh,
that was awesome. That was me Loved holding it. My
Well, phone. Some fun facts. Actually, the house is for sale. I think... You We've may both have that. Added to the asking price, but also may have scared away buyers. Ryan said,
terrified.
I don't know. I mean, for me, it's a weird thing. Like, if you could really buy Collinwood from Dark Shadows, if that house was for sale, I would buy that house. I effing love Dark Shadows. But we said that to Dark the owners Shadows. Of the house when we first started shooting there, which was, you are aware that if this show works and people like it, this house will enter the lexicon of famous horror homes in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The interesting thing enough is that the house was also for sale when we shot the pilot.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what Dark Shadows was, it was a daytime soap back in the 70s and most recently is going to be revamped into a film by Tim Burton.
Right. And it was about vampires.
And it was about vampires. Ghosts. So definitely look out for that.
So they asked him, would you move into the Harmon house? He said, no, too much bad shit has gone on there. Well, you know what, Tim? Never say never. I tell you what, I'd move Constance into one of the guest bedrooms, and I'd bring Constance back into the house that she's loved and coveted for all these years.
Oh, hell no.
I think that's a big clue to how this is going to end, that Ben is going to share his house with Constance.
You think? I mean, she is glamorous.
but she's also crazy.
But she is nutso.
Right.
She's crazy.
That's the only way to get her
baggage.
On your side is to give her part of that house.
But also, she would be able to help take care of the baby because he clearly has no idea how to raise a child. Yeah.
Take care of the baby and she even says, how can you be so blind? Like, open his eyes to a lot of what's going on.
Right.
Which he needs or doesn't. I don't know.
Or doesn't.
Yeah.
Who the hell knows?
Speaking of babies, they said, will your first baby have a red crib? He said, how can I not? I think the baby antichrist thing is very funny. Just because Billy says that's
it's hilarious.
What it is, that doesn't mean that's what it is. You do see that baby quite heavily in the finale. I think the finale has, to me, the most shocking scene we've ever done. Every time I edit it, I literally have to cover my eyes. The finale really does have a couple shockers in it that I think people will love.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
That's exciting.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you wanted to hear this as well. Congratulations are in order to the cast and crew of our beloved American Horror Story. Just today, the show has been nominated for Best Drama Series Golden Globe by the Hollywood Foreign Press, along with Best Supporting Actress nomination for Jessica Lange.
She also was nominated for SAG.
All right, well, and so I'm not going to read that because...
I didn't think you had it, but I'm glad our lovely
I wrote
put
those
that in there.
I know you did, girl.
All right, and that's your news and gossip for American Horror Story, December 15th.
All right. Well, if you didn't catch on to what David said, Jessica Lange also was nominated for Screen Actors Guild Award
and now,
yesterday.
You're after Buzz TV.
Thanks. You'll never know what I said.
Ever.
Yeah, they'll catch it.
All right. So next week we have our huge finale entitled Afterbirth.
I'm so nervous.
I am very as well.
You made me really nervous for like which way this is gonna go now.
That's what I'm saying. It could go either way. They could make it let the family continue on in this home, or they could completely end it.
I'd be really upset if they completely
I mean, I think
ended
everyone
it
would be really
well,
upset.
Well, round of votes, guys. What do you think? Do you think we're going to get a whole new family?
I don't. I think
no
it would be foolish.
I think it would be completely foolish for them to start with a new
and
family.
And I think they know that, too.
Yeah.
It'd be too soon, like a couple, maybe in a couple of seasons, a new family.
But
yeah,
to
right
start,
now
to start, to end this season, I mean, and then start season two with
just new
I just become
people
so emotionally attached to this
yeah
family that,
well,
like, I can't.
And, I mean, of course they'd all be there, but the thing for me that would be so lame if it was a new family is it'd essentially be this all over again.
Yeah.
Right.
Because all we'd be doing is watching people learn that there are ghosts.
Discover this again.
And that was only fun for us because we didn't know it either.
Yeah.
And for us to know all of that and watch it, I think would be boring.
Well,
that,
unless they changed the whole concept and it was American Horror Story and it was a different
just
horror genre.
Somewhere else altogether and not yeah even anything about this.
Right.
And it became in like an anthology series where each season was completely different
from the past,
which I hope they don't do that.
I don't either, but there has to be the way that this season has to end for season two to continue on with the same family. There's going to have to be some sort of conflict, and whether that be Constance moving into the home, Constance vying to get the home again, Ben killing himself in the next episode and Constance wants to buy the home. I mean, there has to be
I don't think she can
something
buy the home.
Right. Yeah, I mean, she's literally, if he dies, she's the only living person left in the cast.
That's what I'm saying, and her and the baby.
I can only hope that because he's like, if you pay close enough attention, it'll
give you
clues, ideas. They're not going to, I mean, unless you literally kill everyone off, that's the only other clue, and that's a big old clue that
yeah
something's going to
yeah
change.
I mean, I don't think, I don't expect Ben to die.
I don't either. I think they...
I think the conflict
think
is to leave him alive to battle Constance.
I did not expect Vivian to die.
I didn't either, but I wouldn't... Beyond that, I would think it'd be too ludicrous to kill the entire family. I think that'd be too hard to rebound from, unless they are doing what we said and just wiping the slate clean and doing something entirely different.
And I think
exactly
it's too obvious to have him with a gun in the preview. It's just, it's not American Horror Story.
Right, no, it's
eyes
not
like,
at all,
I
but...
Really, I do think that the conflict will be...
They did the same thing with revealing Tate as the Rubber Man, where they showed him the week before in the rubber suit, and then the next week they revealed he was the Rubber Man.
No, they didn't show him. They showed Chad.
No, they,
right,
they showed him. That's the only reason I claimed I was right. It's because they showed him, and I just, like, stuck with it that
yeah
it was going to be Tate. They showed him.
In the week before, in the episode.
But then, yeah, I mean, I guess that is true. Like, it did seem, like, too obvious, but...
Right.
But at the same time, other people had used the rubber suit.
Right.
I don't know. I'm hoping he doesn't kill himself.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the Ben Constance conflict is what
drives the next season.
Right. But could you actually watch an entire season of Dylan McDermott going insane? No, it would drive you insane.
They'd introduce something else, obviously.
That's what I'm saying. There would have to be new conflict.
Right. Well, we'll see what they throw at us next week.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not done with the season yet.
No, the baby is definitely at Constance's.
Yeah.
At
we
Constance's?
See it, like, in the closet.
Yeah, it's in a closet.
They showed in that shot. She has it in, like, a bassinet in the closet in some very small room.
Yeah.
Don't they show someone with, like, actually... This it was me really looking into it. Like, young, painted, pretty nails holding the baby. And Constance does not have those hands, and Ben is a man. So I would assume that it had to be around in the house somewhere.
Oh.
Because I remember...
Maybe it was that baby?
it was...
Unless it could be a throw-off.
And then there could be a different baby.
Or a flashback to Nora holding
stillborn babies,
baby.
Really alive.
Right. Or a baby Violet.
Yeah. Any of those are possible. All right. Well, I think we can wrap it up here.
Jeez.
A big announcement next week. Please, we're going to be tuning in Wednesday, the night of the finale. We won't be coming to the night after. We're going to be coming live 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern.
Oh, wow.
Next Wednesday, the night of the finale. So we'll be right there. And be sure to tune in because there's a strong possibility we're going to have a very special phone guest. I'm not going to tell you who, so you have to come and watch. We'll see you next week, guys.
Bye.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.